Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart combos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Welcome back to another episode of the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt. I'm delighted that you're here and happy National Nutrition Month. If you didn't know that, March is considered National Nutrition Month every year. And friendly reminder that next week, 1 week from today on March 11th, is National Registered Dietitian Day. So make sure to find your favorite registered dietitian and wish them a happy Registered Dietitian Day. Most people don't know that, but it's a fun fact, and we'll celebrate it here because we'll be hanging out next Wednesday too. But today I had the honor of sitting down with Karen, one of our clients at Fine Food Freedom. And today is the first Wednesday of the month, which if you're an OG listener, you know what that means. Today is a client testimonial episode. These are some of my absolute favorite episodes because I get to sit down one-on-one with our clients that get support from our team of dietitians and certified intuitive eating counselors. And these conversations are just so invaluable because I can talk about intuitive eating all day long. But I think if you are someone who's listening that maybe you're fearful of going on an intuitive eating journey, or maybe you've been on one, but you haven't gotten professional support and you're kind of like, I don't know if I'm doing this right. I kind of feel like I'm failing or flailing and I just don't know. This is a great episode for you. And one thing I love about Karen in particular is we really talked about how intuitive eating improved her health. I think there's a huge misconception on social media and just out in the world that if you do intuitive eating, you just don't care about your health. And that truly couldn't be further from the truth. So today's episode is so amazing for so many reasons. Also, I love that Karen kind of talks about where she's at in her life too. I love some of our clients that have wisdom and have lived life through different seasons, and it's never too late to walk an intuitive eating journey. It is never too late to say, I don't want to subscribe to diet culture bullshit anymore, and I absolutely want to find freedom with food and my body. And so I don't even need to do a Fine Food Freedom win of the week because today's episode is an entire win for not only our client Karen, and our provider Grace, who has been supporting Karen along the way. So without further ado, please enjoy today's episode with our incredible client, Karen. Okay, Karen, so I would love to hear from you. How did you find Fine Food Freedom, and what really prompted you to say, you know what, I want to reach out and I want to get support?
I wish I could remember exactly. Probably Facebook. I probably saw you on Facebook first, listened to some of your podcasts, and everything really resonated with me. And since I had already started but didn't feel like I could do it on my own, I guess, you know, like I have the intuitive eating book and I read it, I think I listened to it, and I have the, you know, all the handout things you can fill in and stuff. But I felt like I just wanted more. So that's what brought me to you guys.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And I always enjoy the prep for these conversations. Your initial assessment with Grace, our provider that you work with, was on April 8th, 2025. So we're coming up just shy of a year of working with her. You've had 35 sessions with her during that which was so cool to see. And again, it's, you know, I can talk about intuitive eating forever, but I think it is so much more valuable for our listeners and for people who are thinking about walking a journey to hear it from people like yourself who have gone through it and are actively getting support with our team. So something I would love to share with our listeners, just to go off of what you just said, is first of all, I guess, Karen, do I have permission to pull up your paperwork and kind of share some of it with you?
And, sure, and why not?
Perfect. And sometimes it's fun to do this because you might be like, I said that? Like, that doesn't feel true anymore.
Right. I'm already surprised that it's coming up on a year. So, yeah.
I know, it's crazy. Yeah. So under, you know, we have paperwork that we have our clients fill out, as you know, before we get started. And for your long-term goals, you would put, and I'm going to just read it to you, and then I would love for you to respond. Mm-hmm. Be like, does that feel true for you anymore? How does that feel? So you had wrote, I ultimately would like to lose some weight in a healthy way. I have a history of restrictive eating, which has ended back in 2022, and I've been trying to follow intuitive eating and have recently started exercising again after stopping 4 years ago. I'm looking to feel better and move easier. I don't know how to eat, air quotes, healthier without going back into my old ways, and I would like help with that. So I just want to take a moment and have you respond to that.
Yeah, I kind of forgot all that. I feel like that was spot on at the time. The thing that comes to mind right now for me is Grace and I don't ever talk about food. So the fact that I was like, I'd like some help in eating healthier without it being restrictive, it just kind of almost, that question almost isn't relevant now because... Yeah. It, all the work I've been doing is in my head and just, you know, the way I think and the way I see the world. And, you know, yeah, so I've brought that up with her. I'm like, we never talk about food, but I don't feel like I have to. It's just not something I think about that much anymore. So,
which is incredible.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
'Cause you get all this mental bandwidth and this brain space back. But right. I always love when clients say that because when people think about coming to us, they're like, well, I'm meeting with a dietitian. Like, of course I'm talking about food. And it's like, we're kind of sometimes more like psychologists, but even obviously we stay within our scope. But so that kind of leads me to the next question of, you know, you were further along in your intuitive eating journey when you reached out for support. Like you said, you read it, you were exposed to it, you had consumed some content. So you're like, okay, I need support with this. So before meeting with Grace, and I know this can be hard to remember, what were your expectations or what did you think support was going to look like with her versus what is support like with Grace? How does she make you feel? Like what you're doing in the sessions? What were your expectations versus what is reality?
Right. So I guess I did expect to talk about food more. Yeah. I did expect to somehow or other have her be able to tell me how to eat the way I used to eat, but have it be not restrictive, I guess. Like now that I look back, that, you know, the things don't really, you know, click. I find her, it's so validating to have a conversation with her about it all because you can't talk to a lot of people about it. You know, there's very few who really understand or get it, especially today with everything going on. But yeah, she's just, and I love how she can say, I have so many clients that say the same thing, you know, like, it's just kind of, it's validating. It feels good. I always feel so good after I talk to her.
Yes, she's an incredible, incredible provider. And that makes me so happy to hear. Well, one thing I would love to really dig into with you, and I know I said this to you before we started recording, was so many people have a misconception of what intuitive eating is. And they say like, well, I would like to do intuitive eating, but I want to be healthier. As people who walked a journey, it's like, yes, you can do intuitive eating and pursue health, but we have to release that guilt and shame and that morality to our eating in order to do that. So I would love to hear from you when it comes to food and, or you know what? I'm going to go back here. Let's talk about health for a second. What do you think your definition of health was when you were in the pits of that restrictive eating and diet culture? And how do you define health now, you know, going through this journey?
I think I define health as being thin. I hate to say it, but back in the day. That number one, I mean, it's just how I was brought up, you know, if you're thin, you're okay. And then maybe something will happen, but otherwise just be thin as your basis. And you know, it should be fine.
Yeah.
Which, you know, as you get older and people, you know, get sick, et cetera, et cetera. I know this to not be true. Yeah. But now, so much of it, like, I was surprised at how we talked about my values. And, you know, and I was like, oh, I've done this before with, you know, because I see a therapist. And I'm like, I'm really not sure what this has to do with eating. And I'm always surprised when that's the thing that can make me feel so much better, is that am I the kind of person who wants to think that way? Absolutely not. And what I mean about that is, like, judging of, you know, the fat phobia and all that. Yeah. That's such a big part of how I used to live. It's hard to get through that shame, to be honest with you. But, like, yeah, I definitely lived in that world. And this is the work I'm doing to think differently, to think more open-minded. But I think you did ask me about health, and I kind of got off the subject.
No, well, I love where you're going, and we'll circle back to where you just were. But go ahead and give me, you know, how do you define health today?
Yeah, today. I find health that I can move freely and do the things I want to do. That my lab numbers are good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's kind of it. It doesn't have to do with the scale or my weight or what I look like or how fit I am. Yeah.
That's incredible. Thank you for sharing that. And it all ties together with kind of where you were going before too. And it's so common that when we've come from years of restrictive eating and dieting, our life's purpose was shrinking our body. And like you had shared earlier, like, that's what diet culture teaches us, is like, if you are thinner, you are better. If you are thinner, you are prettier. If you are thinner, you are healthier. Mm-hmm. And like, we know these things to not be true, mm-hmm. but it is so invasive and it just consumes us. Mm-hmm. And so thank you for sharing kind of where you're at in your journey, because I find that with a lot of clients, we feel guilt and shame for how we used to view, maybe it was ourselves, maybe it was other people, whatever it was, but you're doing such good work. Like, uprooting internalized belief systems is one of the hardest things ever.
I've never done it.
It's crazy, because when people start this intuitive eating journey, they just think, like, fuck dieting, like, I'm not gonna diet anymore, right? I'm not gonna be restrictive eating. And then, like, kind of like what you're saying, you're like, I didn't know I'd be working through internalized fat phobia over here. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, right? It touches so many more parts of my life than I thought it would.
Yeah, it really, really does. But it really gives you freedom so much more than food, right? In so many other ways.
Right.
So I would love to talk about body image, if you feel comfortable with that. Kind of looking over your paperwork that, again, was almost a year ago, we asked questions of, you know, how would you describe your relationship to your body? Would it be pleasant, mm-hmm. neutral, or unpleasant? And you had checked off unpleasant at mm-hmm. the time. Mm-hmm. And for why, this is what we wrote. So you wrote, "This seems to be the last piece of the puzzle for me. I have much less negative body talk and I'm working on loving my body, but a lifetime of the opposite is making this very difficult. I definitely care less about looking thin, but I definitely do not love my body or the way I look." Mm. So what's coming up for you when you hear that?
I remember feeling that way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I wouldn't disagree with any of that. And I think I'm still on that same journey. Yeah. Definitely think about it a lot less concerned about what my clothes look like on me, which is so freeing. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not embarrassed to say I'm 57 years old. So to like, think of different way, like, you know, it's just, I'm proud of myself that I
was going to say, Karen, you know? First of all, thank you for saying your age, and there's nothing to be embarrassed about. I absolutely love working with clients 40 plus, because the diet culture has been there longer, and it is so impressive to see what you're doing and changing how you're thinking and believing. It's incredible. You are doing incredible work.
Thank you. Yeah, it's hard, but it's really but very hard. Rewarding. So yeah, I still don't love my body. I think what it is just less important. It's just not as important as it used to be. Which feels so right to me, which goes back to my values. Like, that just feels right, you know?
Yes.
It's hard to explain, but.
No, it makes sense. And I think that's something I'm so glad you said, because I think there's also, again, back to this misinformation and miscommunication mm-hmm. of social media and, you know, mm-hmm. there's a bunch of crap out there. Mm-hmm. I think people come to an intuitive eating journey thinking, and kind of like your paperwork said, like, I'm working on loving my body, but I don't love it yet. And it's so interesting because as we start to walk this journey, it's like, well, do I need to love my body? Don't get me wrong. Like, if we get there, great. But can we be neutral about our body, right? Can we accept our body? And, or like you said, can we wake up and our body is like, what it looks like is such a distant thought? Like, it might come, like, we're going to have bad body image days, right? Things are going to come up, but we can be more compassionate. And like you said, it's not taking up all of your brain space.
It really took up almost every minute, the way I remember it. I don't know, you know, but yeah, I think if I had to check off, if I had that question given me, I probably would have said in between neutral and, you know, like, I'm much more neutral about my body image than I used to be. And so that's freeing.
It's so freeing because it's like, okay, when we're not obsessed with our bodies and what they look like and all these things, it's like, how do we want to spend that time?
Yeah. What do I get to do?
Yeah. And I would love to hear from you. Like, cause you keep bringing up freedom and it's so freeing. Like, what has changed for you? Like, how has intuitive eating changed your life?
Yeah. So I just said this to Grace the other day. I'm like, I wonder if anyone else has noticed. Not that it matters, but it was just kind of a curiosity thing. But for me, I am so much less judgmental. I feel like I'm so much more open. I'm just open. I'm just more open to meeting different kinds of people that, you know, all don't look like me. And like, you know, I just feel more open about people and just not judging.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful thing, because think that can create more relationships, more opportunities, like more hobbies. There's just so many things that it pulls us out of our bubble and we see life differently.
Right.
That's incredible. And that is something we definitely do hear from some people. And it makes sense. It really does. Because when you have that freedom and you recognize that bodies are meant to be different, bodies are meant to be different sizes, different colors, like all of the things, it's like, wow, it is so freeing.
Yeah.
So I would love to hear from you when it comes to your 35 sessions with Grace, right? Over the almost year, which is incredible. And I forgot to ask you at the beginning, is this, I'm assuming you do have insurance benefits with our team?
Yes, I do. Awesome. So So I can go as much as I want. It's really kind of nice.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, so different from other experiences.
Right? So when we took insurance, like it took us a while to get there. But then once we found a way to do it, like the amount of people that have no idea that they have these benefits.
Right.
Until we can check, you know, help them check. Yeah. So incredible. So all of your support has been free, which makes it that much better. But I would like to hear from you when working with Grace, is there anything that sticks out to you as like an aha moment or like a pinnacle shift or like something that you remember that she said that always kind of sticks with you? Is there any, it could be multiple things, one thing, just any themes that are coming up for you?
Yeah. I think she's the one who said to me, don't make it so important, or you don't have to make it so important. And I can apply that to so many things. So I love that phrase. So when I started working out, it was a struggle to go in worried about, you know, it was just a whole different thing for me.
Yeah.
So she suggested she said a sign. I ended up making a rock that said, you deserve this. And it's in my car. And I just
sent a picture of that in our Slack channel. We obviously didn't know who it was from for HIPAA purposes, but we love to share client wins.
Yeah.
Her like win of the week was a picture of your rock. So that's incredible. Nice. I'm sorry. I cut you off. I just got excited because I didn't know you were the rock owner.
I'm the rock owner. So it's so helpful just to have it there as I go to work out. And it really does help, which it sounds kind of hokey, but it's so helpful. It's so helpful. And I know there have been other things that she said. I can't really think of them, but we laugh because the other day I said, I was thinking specifically about one person that, you know, my relationship with that person was pretty much about working out and being vegan and being healthy. And like, that's where I was at. And so it was really hard for me to see that person after I gained weight. But then I just said to Grace, what I feel like saying to them now is, get over it. So I got fat. What is the big deal? You know? And of course I have no idea what they're thinking, but that's the answer to what I'm thinking. It's like, just get over it. So like, I don't know. I have like those kind of moments where I'm like, Yeah, I just, you know, kind of like an I don't care, but in a good way, you know.
Yes. And so can you remind me, I just make sure I understand, what is on your rock? What is the exact quote?
Oh, it says, you deserve this.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. And I love that you bring up your relationship with movement too, because that's, I'm a certified personal trainer, and it's so funny. Like, as a dietitian, certified mm-hmm. intuitive eating counselor, and certified personal trainer, my relationship with fitness is still, it ebbs and flows. And I'm in a season where I am enjoying it so much. And it's like play, right? It's so fun, and we get to move our bodies. But when we're in diet culture and the intention is only to shrink and punish and burn, it's so different.
Right. And we talk about that a lot too. I used to go to Orange Theory, which I'm sure I'm probably not supposed to say, but
you can say whatever you want.
Okay. And I like didn't like it.
Yeah.
I liked it when I was done, and I felt really good about myself. Yeah. And I did the 6 a.m. classes. I thought I was a better person because of that. And you know what I mean? And then when I stopped working out, I was really uncomfortable. I was. But I think I had to do that, like in a way, to get back to what, like, I never really thought about what do I like to do to exercise. So now I tried Pilates, and it's such a different thing. And it's so all inclusive. No one ever says, you know, let's work on your beach body or like any of that. And it's just I look forward to it. And that's a new thing for me.
Yes. And I love that you had said, like, I felt like I needed to walk away from movement. And I find the parallel between food and movement is when we're making peace with food, we have to give ourselves that unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's scary at first because it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to eat everything in sight and I'm never going to stop eating. Yeah. And it's that same thing with movement where we have to give ourselves unconditional permission to rest in order to find what our body wants, how it wants to move, what it likes to do. And again, that instant fear for people when they're like, if they've been going to OTF, you know, 6 a.m. every day, it's like, if I stop moving, I'm never going to move. I'm going to get fat, like all these things.
Yeah.
But once we can get through that and remove the morality from that movement, then we can say, okay, what do I want to do? Like, what feels good?
Right. Yes. And we've also talked about me working through pain, which is what I was taught, you know, like if you don't feel like throwing up, you're not working hard enough, you know, like that kind of stuff. And so I got to share with her, we had that conversation, and I went and my lower back was hurting, and I stopped what I was doing. And it's probably the first time I ever did that. Usually I just keep doing what they say and it hurts. And so it's all these little things, you know?
Yeah. I think it comes back to that. Listening to your body, right? And trusting your body more than any other external influence. Like your body and you know what's best, whether that's movement, whether that's food, whether, you know, whatever that is.
Right. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's absolutely incredible to hear just everything that you've gone through. You know, you mentioned before something that was so freeing for you is just not caring as much about how, like with clothes and finding clothes that fit your body. When you reflect back on some of the sessions with Grace that you guys were speaking about body image and clothes, were there any tips and tricks or anything you guys worked on together that really helped get you there?
Sorry about that.
No worries.
One thing that comes to mind was she told me when I go to try on clothes to try them on first and see how they feel. So don't look in the mirror, turn around.
Yes.
And is it comfortable? And then look at it, which is really helpful. I definitely have more comfortable clothes than I ever have before.
Yes. Well, how many times we try something on and we like the look of it, but even not even from a fit perspective, like I've bought in sweaters that I love the look of them. They were so itchy. And I'm like, I'm never going to wear this. This feels like shit. Like, and it's that same thing. Like if something is too small, but we're like, but I really like it. It's like, but it doesn't fit, right? It's not comfy. It has to be comfy.
Yeah.
And comfy doesn't mean frumpy all the time, right? Comfy can be so different.
Right.
Well, that's an incredible thing to hear. And being comfortable is important because if we're not comfortable, it's all we're going to think about.
Right.
I always like to use that analogy too of like shoes, right? If we put on a pair of shoes that were two sizes too small and tried to walk around all day, that's all we'd be thinking about. My feet hurt, right? And so it's the same thing with clothes. And so that choosing to find clothes that fit our body comfortably is such a beautiful right. act of caring for your body.
Right. And there's a lot less in my that in my closet that I don't wear. There's still stuff, to be completely honest.
But oh, we all do. We all have stuff.
But there's a lot less, which is very freeing, too. Like, why do I have to look at those pair of pants that don't fit me? Like, because, you know, that was just I had all the different sizes in my closet. And yeah, so that's great, too.
Yeah. Again, back to freedom, more freedom. I feel right. like that is the word of this episode.
Yeah.
So if you had a friend, a loved one, a colleague, like someone come up to you and say, you know, should I work with Find Food Freedom? What would you say to them and why?
I guess I would want to know what the intent was.
Totally. You
know? Yeah. And from listening to that, I guess I would know if it was for them or not.
Yeah, if they let's say they came to you and said, then I'll give you a scenario. Okay. Let's say they came to you and said, I'm so sick of dieting. I've been doing it for 20 years. Mm-hmm. I hate my body and I just don't know what to do anymore. Mm. I've heard about Find Food Freedom. What should I work with them? What do you think?
Yeah, so it would be a definite yes in that situation. I mean, you know, I think try it, I would say. And then I would just let them know all the benefits, you know, that I have seen from it. Yeah, I think it could really help. I feel like you said, women my age, I mean, this is all we knew. I mean, when you look back on what we grew up and I got it, you know, from my parents too, and it's not their fault. And yeah, and it seems really hard now with the drugs and the, you know, it's just hard. And I think I can say that I could send someone to you guys and say, you know, it's going to help. I don't know how it wouldn't help. But, you know, it might not help everybody, but I can't see that.
Totally. You know? Yeah. No, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up. Like, it's not a one size fits all, right? Mm-hmm. But I think it comes back to that idea of, like, what do we have to lose if, yeah. you know, if we've been dieting for 20 years and that cycle of over and over and over not getting mm-hmm. what it's promised us. So mm-hmm. trying to look at things a different way.
Right.
But I agree with you. I mean, it is a hard.
It is hard.
Ooh, it's hard out there right now for many different reasons, many, many different reasons. So
I've made that joke. Like, why am I doing this now? This has to be the worst time in the world to do this.
Yes. Right. But there's never a good time. Right. No, I mean, that's that diet culture thinking, right? Like, oh, after the holiday or after this event or after this vacation, later, it's like, there's never a good time. But yeah, it's like we all got our own shit going on and then the world on top of it and the weight loss drugs on top of it and all of the stuff. It's a lot.
Yeah.
But I thank you so, so much, Karen, for sharing your story with us and just your perspective. Is there anything else coming up for you? Anything we didn't touch on? Anything else that you want to share with people listening?
The only other little piece I would like to share is that I think about you as a young mom, and I'm so happy for your kids that you can introduce this to them, because I never did. And I see my daughter kind of doing some of the same things that I did. And yeah, I'm just hopeful for the next generation of little girls, you know, so. Yeah.
Thank you so much for saying that, Karen. And I think, like you had said earlier, when you reflected back on your parents, like they did the best they could with the resources they had. Mm-hmm. Same goes for you. Mm-hmm. Same goes for me, right? Like we all do the best we can. And once we know better, we do better.
Right.
And it's never too late to rewrite these relationships with food and body. And how powerful, whether it be if you have children or younger people in your life, to say, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't know X, Y, Z. And I want to share this with you. Like that is powerful.
Yeah, it is. It can still be. Yeah. Like it's not like I don't have the chance, but you know,
totally. Totally. I wish I had that. Right. I get it. We all do that. Like with different generations. So I get you. Thank you.
Yeah. I've had the thought of like, what am I going to say to my grandchildren? So like, it's kind of a nice thing. It's just bigger than me, I think.
Yeah. And I can have all, I know Grace has the link, but I can have her share a link with you of like some of my favorite body positive, food positive books too, to read with your grandkids. So fun. Yeah. my daughters love them. It's just, it's fun. Absolutely. And then it doesn't have to be as didactic and like preachy. It's just a story. And then you get to see the imagery and the illustration. So I can share those with you. Well, thank you so, so much, Karen. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you too. It's nice to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast.